So in the fourth reading, after a long litany of punishing verses, after which time a person might feel that he isn't worth very much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and he gives us a new mitzvah. This is the mitzvah which is known as valuations. The fourth reading can be found, chapter 27. Right, so first, by means of introduction, this business of valuations or the value of human life is not just like a casual discussion about human life, but rather we're talking about donating the value of human life. So we have various possibilities of somebody who might make a commitment, a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And here we speak, what if somebody donates the value of their life? Can you put a price on that? Could you put a price on that? What is the value of life? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer. God speaks to Moshe saying, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yomar to aleihem, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, Ish ki yafli neder be'erkecha, a person, or literally a man, ki yafli neder, when they will articulate a vow, be'erkecha nefoshes, with regard to or pledging the endowment or value of lives, la'Hashem, to God, which means to the tabernacle sanctuary. So that's the introduction to this mitzvah. And it's interesting to note that it's Daber al Bnei Yisrael. And the Torah's Kerenim says this is a Jewish mitzvah. It's true that even non-Jews can bring a korban. However, this business of valuation and the values placed on the donation, if somebody makes this commitment, specific to the Jewish people. And that's why it's Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Rashi says, what is the meaning of Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, and the expression that's used is ki yafli. So Rashi says, yufaresh befiv. This means to articulate, to verbalize out loud. So thinking of this would not, in and of itself, be sufficient to make the mandated commitment. The mandate, the commitment, the obligation, is when somebody actually verbalizes and speaks it out. Be'erkecha nefashas. So be'erkenachon nefashas, which we translate as the endowment or value of life, what does this mean? So Rashi explains, we speak here, litein erech nafshei, if a person comes to give the value of his life, and that's, so to speak, the number. Loimar, as if to say, erech davar shenafshei tluya boy aloy. This could be also if somebody says the value of something that life itself is contingent upon. What would that mean? If somebody says the value of my finger, life is not contingent on a finger, because God forbid a person could live without a finger. But he says the value of my head, you cannot live without a head. So the value of a head means ultimately the endowment, the value of life itself. The Torah goes on to say now, V'hoyo erkecho hazochor miben esrim shono vad ben shishim shono. So the valuation that's going to be placed here is a little bit unusual. First of all, it falls by gender lines, gender faults. Number two, it's going to refer to age, not to what somebody is actually capable of or not. So whether somebody's in robust health and or very bright, very talented, or somebody's in poor and failing health, and somebody's not very talented and not very capable, the Torah doesn't make a difference here. V'hoya erkecha hazachar, so the valuation will be for a male, mi ben esrim shana v'ad ben shishim shana, from age 20 to 60. V'hoya erkecha, the valuation will be chamishim shekel kesef b'shekel hakodesh. It will be 50 silver pieces in what's called the shekel, the sacred shekel. What makes a shekel or currency sacred? The answer is that it's used for sacred purposes, meaning that there's a system in place for mitzvahs, and the system in place for mitzvahs is Kedusha. So this which Moshe Rabbeinu put in place for the concept of mitzvahs is called Shekel HaKodesh. That's the meaning of the sacred shekel. In other words, there's a fixed monetary amount for the endowment, for the commitment, the devotion of life. Rashi says, V'hoye erkecha v'goymer. Rashi in the third verse is going to introduce, this is going to be like an introductory kind of explanation to the whole notion, to what's known as Parshas HaRachim, the parsha, the portion that deals with valuations. So Rashi says, Ein erech zeh lashon damim, that when we speak about value, we're actually not speaking about a valuation in a financial sense, in a transactory or currency sense. But rather, we're talking here about a person who wants to make a commitment to the Beis HaMikdash. Ela bein shehu yakar, bein shehu zoil. This is going to be whether somebody has great value or somebody has very little value. Now, there are times when we look at the individual and their health and their wherewithal and their ability, and that's how we fix a number. When is this? When we have damages. If somebody caused damages, somebody has personal injury, then you're required to make indemnification. On what level of indemnification? Well, that depends who the person is. We even have the notion of boishes, of paying for shame. Not only paying for workers' comp and for pain, not only paying for the notion that a person suffered and they were unable to function, or maybe even has lost some functionality for the future, which all of this has a price tag attached to it. There's also a price tag attached to the shame one, the embarrassment one suffered. How much? What price tag do you put on embarrassment? Well, it depends who you are. Some people, to protect their dignity, will go to great lengths, will spend enormous amounts of money. Some people don't really care. For a few bucks, they'll do just about anything. So that would be the difference of the concept of boishes. So that's when we look at everything in a very, very clear financial way. And there's an actual system in place for how we place a valuation on a person. Person lost a finger, person lost an eye, person lost the ability to function under certain circumstances. What happens? How do we put the valuation? There it's very, very monetary oriented. This is a little different. Because here, we don't look at the person of whether he actually is valuable or isn't. This is one size fits all. And one size fits all can't reflect the true financial value of the person or what he brings to the table. And he goes kefi shanov. It goes according to the years. Hu erech hakotzov alav b'parsha zu. This is the valuation that the Torah applies to this individual in this parsha. So it's clear that we speak here about something which does not really reflect the concept of true value. That's very clear. But at the same time, we'll see that there is a broad reflection of value. Rashi says, Erkecha. Erkecha is kimoi erech, like your value. So why does it say Erkecha? If it's like erech, it should say erech. What's Erkecha? Rashi says, V'chefel ha-kofin, the fact that there's two chafs, Le'adaiti me'ezel lashanu. I really don't know, Rashi says. I don't know why it's called Erkecha. It seems to me it should say Erech. And Erech is a valuation. What's Erkecha? I don't know, but that's what it is. I suppose what Rashi is telling us here is, don't read into it and expect to find any great meaning. It's a grammar thing, and I don't understand why, but that's what it is. Ve'im nekevahi, verse 4, what if it's a female? V'hoye Erkecha shleishim shekel. So then the valuation is 30 shekel. Now this has, on the surface, this is the disparity between male and female, the glass ceiling, woman getting paid less, where is woman's lib? Yada, yada, yada. I don't have an answer for your question. I just don't think it's a question. It's a moot issue because it's not a question of whether somebody's capable or not capable, in good health or in poor health. This is what we call a chok. This is really like a statute that comes from a higher place. This is what Taita says. End of story. Having said that, you'll see there is a rhyme and reason attached to this. And that gets very interesting. Be that as it may, that's the way the Torah expresses itself, and that's the halacha. Ve'imi ben chamesh shanim vad esim shana. Now we go to a lower age. So it's interesting. We start first in the age of 20, and then we go back to the age of 5 years old until 20 years old. How does that work? Why is it that we start off with the age of 20? Seemingly, we would start off at the whatever, you know, youngest age possible, and then go up from there. Here we talk about a mature age. We go down to childhood, and then we go back to senior citizens. How does this work? Why does the Torah follow that order? So one reason that's given is because the person who is being spoken to is probably mature. A person already has means. So the speaking to the person who has means, if he wants to give his valuation, he's probably 20 to 60. After having said that, we say, okay, fine. Let's look. Let's go beneath that. That's what the Shem Olam basically says. Now, the idea of miben esrim shana v'ad ben shishim shana means until a person actually turns 61. Because once you turn 60, on your 60th birthday, so you've passed your 60th year. However, no, sorry, Shem Elam says the other way. That as long as you didn't finish your 60th year, that's called ad ben shishim shana. On a person's 60th birthday, the day after, they're already in their 61st year. So it's up until the point of a birthday. When a person turns a certain age, that means that year life has been completed, and you move it to the next year. V'im b'chameshanim v'ad ben esrim shana, if it's from age 5 until 20, v'hoya erkecha zachar esrim shkolim, so the valuation for the male child is 20 shekel, v'lanekeva aser shkolim, and for the female child, it's 10 shekel. Once again, we have the disparate nature. Rashi says, v'im b'chameshanah, we're not speaking about a child who makes a valuation because a child is not obligated in mitzvahs yet. Because the words of a child have no bearing and no meaning. He can say whatever he wants. He's not going to be held culpable or accountable. Ella, rather, we speak here, a major who said, this minor, I want to give the valuation of this minor to the Beis HaMikdash. Which this minor is, ben chameshanim, from 5 years and onward.
It is the same currency,
but presumably once the Torah introduces this currency as Shekel HaKedesh, which means the system that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, so then that's the continued currency. Now we're going even younger. And what if it's from the age of a month until 5 years old? So the male baby, little child, is chamisha shkolim, 5 shekels. V'lana keva, and for the female child, erkecha shaloisha shkolim kasef. There's a valuation of 3 silver pieces. Now the Torah goes from mature age, went back to childhood, went back to infanthood. And now the Torah goes to older age, mature age. V'imi ben shishim shana v'mayla. But what if it's from age 60 onward after the 60th birthday? Im zachar, if it's a male, v'hoya erkecha chamisha aser shekel, then the valuation is 15 shekel. V'lana keva aser shkolim. But it's for a female, it's 20 shekel. So here, there means to be that the disparity went the other way. Here, the ben shishim shana, his valuation is 15 shekel. And the female after 60 becomes 20 shekel. So, which is the system?
No,
10 shekel. Sorry. 10. But let's look at who went down, so to speak, who went down more. So the male who was 10 shekel, who was from the age of 20 to 60. 20 to 60.
20 to 60.
The male who was 20 to 60 was 50. And now he's gone down after 60. To 15. The woman from 20 to 60 was 30 shekel, and now she's gone down to 10. In other words, the damage with regards to a woman is less. So what's going on here? So Rashi says like this, Kishemagia liyamei azikna, when we get to a mature age, harei ha'isha kareva lehichashev kish. So then the valuation of the woman inches closer to the valuation that the man had. And there's not as much of a decrease in value, so to speak. Lefikach, ha'ish preseach bihizdaknei v'yered mishlish be'erkei. The male majorly goes down in value of the valuations, in value of the valuations. However, v'isha eini preseches, a woman doesn't go down in value that much. Ela shlish be'erkei, only 1/3. So what's the logic? I mean, clearly this is not a logical mitzvah altogether. But what's the logic of the non-logic? It's got to be like some kind of explanation attached to this. What's the reason? So Rashi says, I'll tell you. The Amri Inshi, this is what people say. Sova bebeisa, pacha bebeisa, a grandfather in the house is a snare in the house. Savta bebeisa, a grandmother, Sima Bevesa, is a treasure in the home. Simona Tova Bevesa, it's a good sign in the home. I think now we've managed to offend just about everybody. males, females, mature people, children. Baruch Hashem, everybody's offended now, and everybody's got a nose at a joint. I don't claim to understand these mitzvahs. The notion of valuations makes very little sense to me in a rational way. Whatever, what the Torah says. The notion of placing value to a person's life altogether makes no sense. How could you place a value, a price tag of a person's life? A life is invaluable. Imagine a person is chas v'shalom ill, and he says, you have treatment. How much is the treatment? Oh, it's a lot of money. It's about 75% of your savings. Oh, in that case, you say, I'll just have to die. I'm sorry. I can't spend that much. I wasn't thinking of spending that much. That's, a person would spend everything to stay alive. So could you really put like a number on life? Now, in the court system, they do this, right? They have these numbers where people sue and they have lawsuits. But then again, what does that mean? That means for a certain amount of money, life can be bought. You know, when there's, God forbid, a homicide, the Torah tells us very clearly that punishments have to be carried out, and no amount of money can allow the person to go free. He can be the richest person in the world. He can offer the widower or the widow or the orphans enormous amounts of money, and they should forgive him. And they should say, you know what? We'd rather have $100 million than you be in prison, because you be in prison or you be put to death does nothing for us, and we can't pay our bills. Say, well, it's not really about you. It's not about the surviving relatives. It's about Hashem, and Hashem says once he committed a willful homicide, then he's got to go. That's the way Hashem wants society to function. So really and truly, we cannot put a price tag on life. And in as much as there is a price tag when it comes to personal injury, that price tag is moot when it comes to this issue, because we don't look at a person's capabilities. We don't look at a person's wealth. We don't look at a person's health. We don't look at any of those things. All we're looking at is gender and age. Nothing else. So it doesn't exactly make sense. But nonetheless, the interesting thing we notice is that when there's a decrease, because people have reached a mature age, so then the decrease is more significant with a male and less significant with a female. And for this, Rashi introduced us to a midrashic idea of the difference between the elder man, the mature man, or the mature woman. So this has to be understood. It does. This whole thing has to be understood, or to whatever level. But here, the Rebbe asks a very interesting question. On page Tav Chav Beis, Simin Yud Tes. So the reason that a man plunges in value is because we say he's a snare, right? Because we said, huh? He's a cranky old man, right? Saba Vavesa, Pacha Vavesa. Now, I want you to know that we're talking here in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know how old Moshe Rabbeinu was when he was saying this? He was 80. Oh, he's 81. He's 20 years after being called a snare. And he lived till 120. So he had a whole career. His career started 20 years after his supposed plunge in value. Would anybody in his or her right mind say, Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu. 80 years old, a crotchy old Rebbe. Anybody say that? Chas v'shalom. Make no sense whatsoever. And Aaron lived 123. And Miriam lived 125. I mean, like, they lived long lives. So 60 is not exactly an old age. You know, 60 today is the new 40. I don't know, 60 today was like the old 30. I don't know. People's life expectancy was less than 60 once upon a time. Not such once upon a time, 120 years ago, turn of the last century, that was life expectancy. So you talked here about 60, though, like, and ancient. But in times of bygone, 60 wasn't old at all. And nonetheless, we say, 60, that's it. Pacha bebesa. So the Rebbe says, okay. So then tell me something. Im amnav ha'ish nechshav imei ziknasei. If once he gets to a mature age, he's called a pacha, it's called a snare, a pacha and a meikish. He's basically a stumbling block. So tell me something. So then he should have no value. Why does he have value of 20 shekel? We say he's a snare. A snare, value of 20 shekel. She, a treasure. A good sign. Mazel. Okay. So how does she get? 10. Listen, you pay 15 for a snare and you pay 10 for a treasure? Something's not adding up here.
But shortly thereafter, 61, his value comes down.
No, there's 60 is straight sailing. It's not freedom 55, it's 60, freedom 60. No, it doesn't come down, that's it. It goes down to 15, Whether you're 150 or 60, no difference. That's where it stays. So Rashi does try to introduce some kind of logic here, but the logic doesn't seem to add up, because the pacha, the snare, is still 5 shekels worth more than the treasure. Who would pay for a snare instead of a treasure? Madua nikva efe shegam lezachar ben shish mishan of amayla, that the male at 60 age and onward, yesh erech, he has a value of 15 shekel, of 15 shekel, v'leizul bovad, elushul shemer al yisin. He's still, the male valuation is still 5 shekels ahead of the female valuation. It doesn't make any sense. He's a snare, she's a treasure, and he's still 5 shekels ahead. Well, I mean, look, what's the logic here? I mean, fine, it doesn't make that much sense to begin with. But Rashi did introduce us to some logic. But the logic seems faulty altogether. So we're going to try to understand the, whatever little bit of logic there is, what is the logic here? So, the Rebbe says, the answer is to be found in the exact verbiage that Rashi uses. And this is a lesson for our modern day and era, even though valuations have not been part of the menu for Torah law and Torah life for well over 2 millennia. And it goes like this. Rashi uses his words. He doesn't say Saba and he doesn't say Savta. He says Saba Bevesa. Saba in the
home.
He says that's a Pacha Bevesa. It's a snare in the home. He uses the word home twice. What do you mean home? If the Saba is a Pacha, say Saba is a Pacha. Say Saba, crotchy old man. Doesn't say crotchy old man in the house. Crotchy. He's an old man, he's crotchy. Savta, Sima. The Savta Bevesa, Sima Bevesa. Visimana Tova Bevesa. Did you notice that the word Besa shows up 5 times here in the sentence? Saba Bevesa, Pacha Bevesa. Savta Bevesa, Sima Bevesa. Visimana Tova Bevesa. 5 times we talked about Besa. 5 times we talked about the home. So the Rebbe says, the pshat is like this. Adam Zakin, an elder man, a saba, a grandfather literally, nechshav lepacha. When is he considered a snare? Rak? Bevesa. When he goes to early retirement, and now he's sitting home. Oy vey. Go get yourself a job and a life. What are you doing home? The yachas li'inyani niol habayis, when it comes to running a household. It don't work anymore. Yeah, he could change diapers when he was young, when he was still a spry 30-year-old father, but now he's 60 years old. His wife is tearing her hair out. Vey is mir, find a job, do something. Go to the golf course, you know, move on. When it comes to outside the house, let's talk, for example, let's talk about, let's say, political leadership. Youth is not considered a virtue necessarily. Mm-hmm. Historically, people who have had major positions have had positions that had maturity that goes along with the position. In fact, people consider a position of major responsibility when there's youth a deficiency. When I first became a rabbi and people would meet me, I wasn't even 30 yet, and they said, so young to be a rabbi. I would tell them it's a mum over, it's a passing blemish. Don't worry about it. It's not gonna stick around forever. I also told them I'm flattered that I think being a rabbi is harder than flying in a fighter plane, because the fighter pilots are like 21, 22 years old. I said, you think flying a congregation is more difficult than flying a $30 million plane? This is a compliment, Baruch Hashem. But the bottom line is this. Ultimately, Hanhagas HaTzibur, whether it's Rabbonus, Dayonus, whether it's the rabbinics, or going into the arena of justice, the justice system, to be a judge. Not only does age bring virtue and value to the table, not only is it not seen as a deficiency, but age and experience is seen as a virtue. There's a virtue that rabbis or leaders of the congregation have some maturity on their side. People are looking for experience. They want a steady hand in the rudder. And therefore, l'chein ein asaba ma'avad erkei. The Zaydi doesn't lose his value. Afu shemir al yisun l'gabe asafta. He even manages to still the plunge. He limits the plunge in value. However, It's only when it comes to anhagas habayis, when it comes to the home, that's a bad idea. There we say, saba bebesa, bebesa is a pacha. So that's why the plunge in value is greater with regard to the male than the plunge in value is with regard to the female. But ultimately, the emphasis is bevesa and the concept of running a household. And that's the logical lesson we can draw from this supra-rational system of mitzvah. Achoponim, in case you didn't figure it out, the Rebbe was not a fan of retirement. And he believed that people have to be busy. You could slow down a little. You don't have to have maybe the same level of responsibility, but that a person shouldn't do anything. A person, oh, you're now mature, so sit by the window and watch the snowflakes. Really? A person has to be productive. A person has to be doing something. And sitting bevesa is not necessarily a great idea. In fact, it turns into a snare. It turns into a pach. Supposedly, and I don't know if this is true, supposedly they say that early retirement is actually a killer.
It is.
Right. It's actually a killer. So let's be productive. Let's do good things. And even mitzvahs we don't understand well, we can still learn an important lesson from it.